J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's why I see animation.
Shot. No shot.
With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see
Shot or no shot brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download the PointsBet app now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. Good morning, Danny Zetter.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Danny?
What up, what up, what up, Hoodie? You're just a boy from Chicago, or a man from Chicago, or a kid from Chicago, or a dude from Chicago.
You know, I wonder if any of those hashtags are taken, are trademarked, right? They all should be trademarked by now, right?
I got news. I've been doing that the whole first hour, and I bought every website.
Just a kid from Chicago.com.
Well,
I tell you, there's a lot of comedians and a lot of entertainers that would definitely want to have that as a moniker, right? And they got to buy it from you now, Danny Zetterman.
That's well, it. Really was owned by Derrick Rose, but since the Bulls are just kind of willy-nilly throwing it out there like a drunk person does at the end of the night at a bar, felt like I needed to own it.
Yeah, well, you know what? I love that. I love that he's got ownership of it now. So if you want to buy that, you got to go through Dan Zetterman. There you go.
Because you know I am just a kid from Chicago
as
well.
You are a kid from Chicago.
I mean, that's factually speaking, I am.
That's true. It.
All right, gentlemen, let's get on to the shot or no shot portion of shot or no shot. We'll start there with your Chicago Bulls. Zach LaVine, he led the Chicago Bulls to a 109-97 win over the Denver Nuggets with DeMar DeRozan in the COVID-19 protocol. DeRozan is the third Bulls player in the last week to hit the protocol. The Bulls won their fourth game in a row. Currently on ESPN.com, the NBA power rankings, the year Chicago Bulls are ranked fourth in the top five, amazingly. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the Chicago Bulls are legit NBA title contenders.
On December 7th, that's a shot. The way they're playing, that's a shot. Now, again, do I think they're the top two or three teams in the league? I hope they beat the Milwaukee Bucks ass. That's the defending champs. So,
yes.
Yeah, I would love to see the Bulls make a run to a title. And on December 7th, they're absolutely in the discussion.
Yes, I would say shot in the discussion at this point in time for sure. And here's the thing I want. I want to make sure, I hope that I am wrong about the Bulls in that I hope that they are going to be able to exceed everyone's expectations, including mine. I always think it's like a staircase effect. I think they're on their way. They're on the way for sure. Hopefully this is sustainable throughout the regular season and have a nice, meaningful playoff run. That's the hope, right? I thought, this is going to be a good team because there's veteran presence around it, got some good shooting, but hopefully they will surpass everyone's expectations. The sky is the limit in the East, right?
That'd be amazing.
That'd be awesome. So, you know what? I will go with shot. That is for sure for this Bulls team. I really like what I'm seeing.
Daniel.
Gentlemen, on to the Monday Night Football game. The Patriots attempted just three passes. They ran the ball 46 times in the blustery conditions in Buffalo. They picked up a 14-10 win over the Bills last night. The three passes thrown by the Patriots are the second fewest in the Super Bowl era, behind only the two passes attempted by the 1974 Bills in a game against the New York Jets. I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, Chicago Bears fans would be happy today if the Bears won a game while Justin Fields threw only three passes.
Shot. Like, if with the conditions last night, had that been the Bears, we would have said, hallelujah, our coach figured out what you had to do to win. Throwing the ball 41 times in that wind last night would not have been intelligent football. Bill Belichick went, hang on a second. We're just going to run power. We're going to smash you, and we're going to beat you. And they got a fortuitous missed field goal. Because otherwise, at the end of the game, they're kicking a field goal to beat you. Didn't happen. Hats off.
Was that the Patriots out there, or was that the Navy midshipman? Sure, that one Navy we were watching out there?
Yeah, he wore a Navy face mask, Belichick.
He took the playbook of Navy and was like, this is what we're going to do.
Correct.
Because, you know, Navy, as you well know, never rarely throws the football, right? So I'm watching this game just like, wait a minute. I understand that to start the game, blustery conditions, snow and all that, right? And so he just decides to just be able to just run the football time and time again. Now, if this was the Bears, you know, Danny, there are some that are in the city that would say, back to the hard-nosed football. I like it. The old smash mouth. That's what they would say, right? Mm-hmm. But these shows, like the Get Up and these other shows, you'd be like, you know, and Stephen A. on First Take, they took the ball out that boy's hands. Like, they'd be so angry because Justin Fields didn't get a chance to show what he could do. So I would be happy as a Bears fan because it's a W, however you get it, right? But I know that there's some that would be like, why didn't you let Fields showcase what he can do? This is a travesty, a Travis Sham mockery. Why did this happen?
But I think the majority would look and go, in those conditions, hallelujah, he figured it out.
It's a travesty. It's a mockery. It's a Travis Sham mockery. That's what we said.
Thank you, Stephen.
That's what happened. Right, Danny?
No, permission to insert my beak. I would be screening phone calls today with people yelling and screaming that Matt Nagy doesn't know how to call offense. Why would he handcuff Justin Fields? What's the point of trading up for this guy if you're not going to let him throw the ball and showcase his skills? I agree with you that people would be happy the team got a W, but I think people would be really pissed off in the way in which they went about it.
Not in those conditions.
You would have Dan Orlovsky this morning on the Get Up yelling and screaming that Matt Nagy is clueless and lost. We'd have some people calling in thinking Matt Nagy just did that to show us that he can run the ball. Like he was trying to prove to the fans he can run the ball. You know, my next question, I'll just ask it. Shot or no shot, Bill Belichick basically earned himself coach of the year, right? Everybody's saying that was a magnificent game plan, and I'll let you guys answer if that's a shot or no shot. But on the contrary, if Matt Nagy did it, people would be saying, he's done. That's it. He mailed it in. What a fool. What's he doing? He didn't even put any thoughts into the plan.
I love that. Mailed it in. He mailed in the game plan. Mailed it in.
Just run the football. If that's what it took, again, Matt could literally announce that, hey, before we start with the injury report, I'd like to announce I cured cancer, and people would not accept it. They would be like, oh, he's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's got there. That's what they'd say, right?
Yeah.
So if they were as good as the Patriots are, and you saw Justin Fields win 7 consecutive ball games and have number one rankings in a whole bunch of important categories, no one would say a word. But because we're the Bears, our offense is inept, and we are a bad football organization, top to bottom, nobody would give Matt any credit if he did that. Danny's right.
Danny.
Do you think Bill Belichick locked up Coach of the Year last night?
Shot.
I'm trying to think who else.
I think before the game I thought that he would be Coach of the Year, just based on how you have a rookie quarterback and you are flourishing with this team.
They won 7 straight
games.
What
about Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be in the running, Kingsbury,
no question.
Because they won 3 games with Colt McCoy as their quarterback.
Right.
At least 2 out of 3, right? 2-1 with McCoy?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they get the 1 seed, Cliff Kingsbury may
win.
So I don't think he's locked it up.
Agreed.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone on the outside of that. LaFleur will get votes, I'm sure.
No doubt.
I don't see anyone else that I would say would definitely be a lock to get that Coach of the Year. Yeah, I don't see anyone else.
It'd come down to those 3.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, Danny.
Gentlemen, it's freezing. It's 16 degrees. It's time to warm up and talk a little baseball. Minnie Minoso is a Hall of Famer. He is headed to Cooperstown. He was one of 6 elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame by the Golden Days era committee over the weekend. This year is the last chance for Curt Schilling, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Sammy Sosa to get into the Hall of Fame. Those ballots are due at the end of this month. It is the first chance for guys like Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz. I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, any of the quote-unquote steroid guys will get into the Hall of Fame this year?
Unfortunately, I would say that's a no shot. And this is the only sport in which the best of the best can't get into the Hall of Fame. And those that do get in the Hall of Fame, there are some writers that turn a blind eye to it. Like, oh, well, I don't think that he was on steroids. At least I've never heard the evidence, or I'm not sure. They're just letting their friends in, those that were good to the media. And those that, you know, the A-Rods of the world, there's no way. It's amazing, too, right? A-Rod is on 2 networks, on Fox and ESPN, right, as pretty much the voice of Sunday Night Baseball. And also in the playoffs, he's there on Fox. And yet he is front-facing as a person in Major League Baseball, and he won't be in the Hall of Fame. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I'm going to say So Clemens got 61.6% of the vote the last time. Schilling is an asteroid guy. He's also a pariah among everybody. He got 71.1.
Among who? Schilling.
Kurt.
I say pariah among who? Amongst who?
Oh, he's disliked by the media everywhere. All his political stuff. There's a lot of people that hold all that against him.
They're just we focus on the baseball, right? Is he a Hall of Famer or not? Now, despite
Agreed.
Anything that people disagree with him on, did he play the game at a high level enough to be a Hall of Famer? I would say yes.
Bonds had got 61.8, two tenths better than Clemens. Well, either Sammy has zero chance.
Don't forget about A-Rod and Big Poppy. This is their first chance.
Steroid cheats.
A-Rod's not getting in.
I think Big Poppy is.
I don't know if he's a first ballot guy.
Steroid guy? Ortiz?
Well, he admitted it. Didn't he admit
his name was leaked?
And it was leaked in the Mitchell report. Correct. And then I think he apologized.
Did he? Did he apologize?
I'd have to go back and look.
But or not, Ortiz?
I think eventually, yes. I don't think he's a first ballot guy.
See what I mean by picking and choosing?
Right.
If he's a steroid guy and these writers, the baby boomers and the Gen Xers that are voting, if they say no to the steroid guys, that should be for all of them.
Correct. Shouldn't be, well, he's a bad guy. Oh, we really like Big Poppy. Good guy.
Go Big Poppy apologized for being a distraction.
Go ahead.
So not Correct. For steroids. Right. The old non-apology.
Does Correct. That, but do you agree with me, Jeff? Like, so but he's done a 180, though, because he's been a bright star on TV on Fox,
too. Dude, it is so personality-driven. It's infuriating that the voters. I saw John Heyman, like, over the weekend release his ballot. Mm-hmm. He voted for Barry Bonds, but not for Roger Clemens. Like, to me,
well, how does that go?
My guess is, I didn't see his reasoning. My guess is he's probably convinced himself that Bonds was a Hall of Famer, quote, before he started doing steroids. And so that's why he voted for him and not Clemens, which I just think it's asinine, though. If you're going to vote for the steroid guys, vote for them all. You're right, Hoodie. Or Poppy goes in, A-Rod should go in, Bonds should go in. Put them all in.
So Heyman's ballot, you're allowed to vote for 10.
Yeah.
Heyman voted for Bonds, Andrew Jones, Jeff Kent, Scott Rowland, and Curt Schilling.
Scott Rowland? What?
No.
Andrew Jones.
Andrew Jones.
No Roger Clemens.
So wait, how do you have...
Scott Rowland. The old Philly?
Yes, and Cardinal.
Get out of here with that.
And Red. Wasn't he a Red, too?
I want to say Red. That's just
Cardinals
nonsense.
And Phillies. Yeah, huh? Mostly. Cardinals and Phillies, mostly.
That's nonsense. And Jeff Kent, by the way, for a certain generation, one of the best second basemen of his generation.
Right.
But bad guy, so you can't put him in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Well, bad guy how? To the media?
Yeah, who cares?
All right. He was still solid. That's Hall of Fame worthy, Jeff Kent. No question.
Yeah. So he now only voted for five guys.
Now you're throwing your vote away when you throw a Scott Rowland in.
Right. It's like saying, I'm going to vote for who else is on this list? Bobby Abreu. I mean, stop.
Bobby Abreu.
That's it. Carl Crawford. He's on the list. I mean, really? Come on.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Danny.
We will break down what I'm being told was the best Manning cast of the year. I guess that's still a thing. We'll be right back.
Danny.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
What a game we've had here on a windy, cold night in Buffalo, New York. What a great scene for a game. There's our friend Bill Belichick looking happy on the sideline. Second down and 10 with 3 minutes and 45 seconds to go. A shot up in the booth, and now here we go. Buffalo needs something to happen, and let's see if Josh Allen can get the ball down the field at all. My daughter, Trudy, is hoping if I could circle Cole Beasley that he gets a catch for her fantasy football team. Instead, the handoff is to... whoever the hell that is, running over the left side, and it's going to be a first down for the Buffalo Bills.
Perfect. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Joe Buck, David Letterman on the Manning cast last night, and Peyton Manning's best line. Mac Jones is putting on a clinic on how to hand off.
Well, the Manning cast was interesting yesterday because, Cap, do you realize that every time there's a Manning cast, it's kind of a breaking down of the forbidden door? Al Michaels has been on ESPN. Joe Buck's been on ESPN. It's kind of one of those things like, how did that happen? Like, with you and I being in the business, it's kind of like, that was allowed? Like, the voice of Fox football, the voice of Sunday Night Football is on the Manning cast. It just shows you the relationships that they have in which you can have a cross-section of other network stars on the Manning cast.
Yeah, I never understood management that said, oh, I don't think you should go on that because you work for CBS. You shouldn't be on that big Monday Night Football platform. Really? All they're doing is marketing your guy
right
to another audience that you would like some of that audience watching you.
So what time are you scheduled to be with Mulligan this morning? What time are you?
9:30, a special edition.
How about that, Danny?
They could use somebody alive and alert.
Oh! Wow. David Kaplan's with us! Molly, ah! Ah, ah,
our 12th guest of the hour!
Ah, ah, ah!
Wow.
My giddy arse.
Go ahead.
Why do you put me in that position to have to say those things,
Woody? I put you in the position.
You keep your beak out of their business.
Well, you're the one talking about the cross, going from one station or one network to the other.
Like, do you really think, like, this is the mind of the broadcasting executive?
Uh-huh.
Well, if we put Joe on there, well, oh, my God, what if people decide they don't want to watch us now because they like that presentation? Like, really?
Yeah.
They're still going to watch Joe, and guess what? ESPN's still going to have their viewers as well.
That's right. You're not going to lose anybody, Jeff.
You know what I think it is, Hoodie, is I think if you're an executive, you're looking at it like, listen, especially for guys like Joe Buck, Al Michaels, I'm sure Tony Romo might be in the mix, or they have designs on putting him on at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Your thought is, look, we pay them a premium, like a pretty penny, and we don't want them going on the opposition to enhance the broadcast. It's not so much that, like, because, listen, if there's not a football fan who exists who, like, only watches Monday Night Football but doesn't watch CBS or Fox football on Sundays. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of a sudden, it's not like someone was watching last night and they go, boy, I love the Mannings. How about this Joe Buck guy? He's pretty good. Where'd he come from? Like, if you watch football, if you watch sports, you're consuming all of the football for the most part, right?
And I think it only goes to help because a lot of people don't like Joe Buck, but if you watch the Manning cast yesterday,
he came off likable.
He's super likable. I've heard him on Howard Stern before. He's a likable guy. He's an entertaining guy. But if you've never been exposed to that side of Joe Buck where he's just having a conversation and he's a cool guy, mm-hmm. you don't see it. But then you sit him down with the Mannings and he's, just shooting the bleep with them and he's talking football and he brings up his daughter and he's telling you about going to Cabo. Stuff like that's cool and you enjoy it.
Here's another quick moment from yesterday. Peyton at teeing Joe Buck up, even though unknowingly teeing him up.
Hey, Joe, when y'all have a blowout game, like, do you ever wish you could have a guest on there that you and Troy could interview?
Yeah, the last time I thought about that was when you guys played Seattle at the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Oh, shots. Shots fired. Yes.
That's pretty good.
Eli loves it when Peyton gets a beating. He loves that. That's why it's entertaining. And see, I understand, Cap, for you, from your standpoint, you're busy doing things. You might be working out. You might be looking at other games. And it's like you need the traditional broadcast because you're following your bets, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But plus, you want to be able to get the analysis. And again, this is a great alternative to that. When you have guests stopping by, the game's still on, but then you get Joe Buck with a zinger like that, it's fun, right? So I thought that was great yesterday. Letterman stopping by I thought was fun, too, because it's David Letterman. He's going to always make things awkward.
But he was late, which killed his segment.
It did not kill this. Actually, you got enough of him, right? You got about 6-7 minutes. All you need a Letterman in that spot.
Yeah, but I'm just like, he came on and then they had to go right to commercial. And then they came back and they had a couple minutes. And then the way the flow was going of the game, they had to go right back to commercial.
I don't know what happened. Something definitely happened, though, with the Letterman. First of all,
he was late.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, he was late.
Okay, because there was definitely a concerted effort to change up the broadcast a bit because they only had three guests. I think for every other broadcast, they've had four guests, one guest per quarter.
And the guests were shorter this time, like 6, 8, maybe 10 minutes max.
So you got more of Peyton and Eli breaking down the game, which was better because we've talked about it every time we discuss this. The lag with the guest, with the Zoom technology or whatever they happen to be using, it does create an issue. And so sometimes that's hard to like wade through if you're a viewer. So less of that was good. But Danny's right. When Letterman popped on in like 6 minutes remaining in the second quarter, it wasn't even that he was late. It was when he arrived, the way Belichick was playing the game where they were trying to run the ball and shorten up the game. That flow, he popped in with too many commercials coming down in the second half.
True.
So every time Letterman starts to tell a story or try and set Peyton up with some type of zinger of his own, he had to be interrupted because they had to throw it to break.
We had to take a timeout.
And it ended in the middle of a David Letterman story because they were at half. Letterman's trying to, you know, wrap it up and tell a story, and all of a sudden you get like a the Gronk commercial.
Right,
the veterans insurance, you know, commercial.
USAA.
Yes, the USAA commercial pops in the middle of a David Letterman story. That's it. Halftime, we're done.
I know. I thought it was enjoyable. But I think that to Danny's point, the best of the Manning cast is when the two brothers are just breaking down football. It's good to have a guest every now and then. I have no problem with that. But when they are breaking down the game differently than Riddick and differently than how Brian
Greasy
would do it. I think it's different. It's fun.
Yeah, I was watching a lot of the Bulls last night.
I got you.
And I wanted to see the weather. I saw the Big Cat video where he's out there with no shirt on, and he's like, oh, I'm pounding the over. I just bet it again. Yeah, it was hilarious.
And he made that guy lick his nipple.
Yeah. He's like, I don't get why people think the weather's a factor. It's beautiful out here. You can hear the wind whipping, and it's freezing cold. God. Yeah. And then he's shirtless. He's like, boy, my nipples are hard. And then he said to that guy, lick it. And the guy did. Yeah. It was like, it's been seen like how many, a million times?
Yeah. Do you think Sylvie would lick his nipple if he asked?
100%.
You know what was great yesterday? Peyton Manning told a story about Mac Jones, how he wanted Mac Jones to watch. What's the name of the show he does, Meller, that he wanted Mac Jones?
Peyton's Places?
No, the other one, where he breaks down the film.
Details.
Thank you, Cap. He did a details on Mac Jones, and he sent it to Mac Jones, and he wanted Mac Jones to watch it and report back to him whether or not he thought Peyton did a good job. Mm-hmm. And he sent it to Mac Jones on like a Tuesday, and Peyton hadn't heard back from him. And then all of a sudden, Friday night, Peyton's phone blows up, and it's Mac Jones apologizing to Peyton. Hey, man, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you sooner, but I don't use my phone or turn it on or look at it during the week.
Think
and
about
I
that.
Thought that was tremendous. I mean, how old's Mac Jones? 23 years old?
Yeah.
For a 23-year-old kid not to look at his phone for an entire work week, that says a lot about his dedication to Bill Belichick and what he's doing.
It's completely old school,
who
right?
Who was his college coach?
Nick Saban.
Yeah, thank you.
He actually hasn't seen his phone since he was 17.
Correct.
Before he came to Alabama, probably. It just shows you the discipline of the young man, right? He wants to get it right. So we're probably looking at the best quarterback for this season out of the rookie class, right?
There's no question he's going to be the offensive rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. No question. The only guy I thought had a shot was Ja'Marr Chase, who's a beast. He had a big drop the other day that led to an interception. Mac Jones has won 7 consecutive games. He's 6-0 on the road. So I think he wins it easy.
So we're not going to get the Mannings for the Bears game. They're going to skip the Bears totally. And they have one more left, Danny?
One more Manning left. Cast? They're going to do it in January of 2022.
And that's not anti-Bear as much as...
Oh, yeah, it is. It's anti-Bear.
No chance. No
that
chance.
A Bears game would be so unentertaining that they would have to do so much of the heavy lifting to entertain the audience. I think it is an anti-Bear slant.
I don't think it is. I think the Bears are just caught as collateral damage. It's the holidays. They want to be with their family. He's made it clear, I'm not going to do this every week.
Why did they do the Steelers game
then?
That's
the thing, Kev. I think you may be right about the second one. However, we've never... Here's the thing. We were never told ahead of time what the Manning cast schedule was. We just, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We just have learned each week, oh, hey, or they would tell us at the end of the week, we'll see you next week. but we never got a Manning cast schedule ahead of time. Almost as if they were picking it week by week. They knew they had an obligation for 10, and so they were picking it week by week. Hey, do we want to do this one? Eh, the Bears not that great. Pittsburgh's struggling this year. Let's skip it. Because that's a perfect rivalry game for the Mannings to do.
Two huge teams playing on a Monday night. And that made a lot of sense.
Eli and Ben Roethlisberger draft classmates.
That's true.
See?
By the way, points bet, there's four finalists for Coach of the Year that you want to bet. Belichick's plus 150, lay 100 to win 150. Cliff Kingsbury plus 300. Matt LaFleur 600. Mike Vrabel plus 1,000, 10 to 1.
Put Garland on the Manning cast. Jeff Garland. That'd be a guest.
He'd always be fun.
Yeah.
He's always fun.
Or George Wendt.
312-332-3776. We'll talk to Albert Breer. We go around the league next.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and J Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
What Bert is it?
Our guy, Bert Breer, brought to you by Curcio Law Offices. So it was a thing last night again at the Bulls game. The entire crowd chanting "Fire Nagy."
Yep,
they did it at the Bear game on Sunday. It's just a string of events. Wherever we've got a sporting event, whether it's pro wrestling, basketball, whatever, they're chanting the high school game, whatever it is. Bert, good morning. How are things in your world? Your Patriots ran the ball very effectively last night and found a way to win a football game.
My Patriots? I don't have a team, guys. You know that. I thought it was, sort of indicative of the way that New England's built its team this year. And, you know, I think it's pretty incredible how quickly Bill's turned it around. You know, and I would argue that last year he had one of the worst rosters in football. You know, and to be able to kind of flip that on its head, get the quarterback position worked out, build a real identity for a team and, you know, come back and, you know, be at 9-4, after starting 2-4 is pretty incredible. So, it feels in a lot of different ways like a vintage Patriots team and that it's not the most talented group, but there is, answers for everything in the way that team is built. And it allows Bill to coach a certain way. And, I think you saw it again last night where, the Patriots staff really coached to the conditions and coached to what was in front of them. And, they were able to, I think, to some degree, get inside the Bills' heads a little bit and then perform when it mattered most.
I mean, honestly, that wasn't the Patriots. That was the Navy out there, wasn't it? That was the Navy midshipmen.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I mean,
you know what, though? Here's the thing, Hoodie. Like, I think, you know, all right, so like we talk about analytics a lot, right? Like everybody now talks about football analytics, all that different stuff. So, like, what are analytics really? I mean, it's trying to find inefficiencies, right? Well, what's a bigger inefficiency in the NFL right now than defenses built to stop the pass, right? Like, what do you see teams in the NFL doing? They're drafting 240-pound pass rushers. They're drafting 220-pound linebackers. They're drafting safeties who are converted corners. And so, like, look at the way the Patriots are built. The Patriots are built with big road-grading offensive linemen. They've got a 350-pound guard, you know, and 230-pound tailbacks. And, the core of it, like, you look at, like, what they did last night, and it's, I mean, A, it helps when you've got a young quarterback that you're able to lean on all of that, right? Like, because you don't need to ask the world on a world of them. And then B, when you get to November and December and you get games like that, you're at a distinct advantage, you know. And the Bills are built a different way. The Bills aren't built that way. The Bills aren't built like a team that's based in Buffalo, New York. You know, the Bills are sort of built like a dome team. And you saw it a couple of weeks ago against the Colts. And, you know, I think you saw it again last night. And, you know, on the flip side, again, I think you see a Patriots team that's built to win in any condition, any sort of conditions you give them.
Let's talk about our football team here. The Bears lost to a better team in the Arizona Cardinals. Now they get the next 2 weeks. They're on the national stage. I'm sure people outside the two markets are thrilled that they get the Bears Sunday night, and then the following week they get them on Monday Night Football. What is the latest you're hearing about the Bears, the job, the whole thing? Is there any chatter picking up because you can interview people in week 17 and 18?
You know, it's going to be an interesting kind of twist to this whole thing because, you know, I do think there's a potential that if one team pulls the plug on their coach, that maybe other teams feel the pressure to do the same. You know, if there's competition for a small number of coaches, you know, what does that mean for everybody? You know, and look, like a lot of this stuff has been back-channeled for years anyway, right? Like, I mean, it's not new, the idea of teams poking around with coaches while their coach is still employed. Some are sloppier than others. I mean, you guys remember Dallas a couple of years ago where, mm-hmm. I mean, they basically walked Jason Garrett out on the plank and let him stand there for a few weeks, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so, I mean, this stuff's been going on for years. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely the potential that if, you know, like you're on the verge of firing your coach and then you see somebody else do it, you know, maybe you wind up pulling the plug a little earlier than you would have otherwise because you feel like you need to be competitive for certain coaches. You need to have a better lay of the land. So the last 2 weeks of the season is certainly going to be interesting. You know, the Bears are one of those franchises that's old school, like the Giants, like the Steelers, that don't like to be reactionary, that don't like to do things in midseason, you know, make big ticket changes in midseason. You know, but certainly I think with all the moving parts this year, the dynamics changed a little bit. And I think there's no question, you know, when you talk to people, you know, who do this stuff for a living, you know, like the agents and all the people that are kind of involved in, you know, the coaching carousel industry, you know, the Bears obviously are, you know, that's a job that I think, you know, most people are sort of assuming is going to come open.
Albert, what are you hearing about the Green Bay Packers internally? All the distractions at the beginning of the season, and here we are here on December 7th. What are you hearing about the Packers and why they've been so stable and good, obviously, on the field?
Yeah, I think Matt LaFleur deserves a lot of credit. You know, and I think, like, it's kind of hard, you know, and I mean, look, Belichick ran into this when he had Brady for all of those years. Tony Dungy ran into this when he had Peyton Manning. Generally, most people look at, like, for Coach of the Year awards, and they'll look at a guy who has a great quarterback and say, well, you can't give it to him. You know what I mean? Like, so I understand, like, some people are going to look at Matt LaFleur and say, well, he's got Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, what did he really accomplish? But I just think, you know, the ability to manage that situation, a lot of it fell on Matt's lap because Aaron wasn't talking to the front office, because Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst were sort of in the eye of the storm of that whole thing with Aaron Rodgers. It was really up to Matt LaFleur to find a way to balance both sides of it with guys who are his bosses, right? Like on one side, and then his quarterback on the other side. And so, you know, I think, you know, the job that Matt has done and Matt and his staff have done, kind of keeping things where they need to be with Aaron and maintaining a relationship with Aaron through like the 6-7 months where that thing was completely like unstable. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And then, you know, of course, I think they deserve a lot of credit the job they've done managing injuries. You know, their defense is without their two best players right now. It's Darius Smith and Jair Alexander. And they haven't really missed a beat. You know, they've lost offensive linemen. Bakhtiari been out all year. You know, now they'll get him back. And Elkton Jenkins, who was one of the best linemen in the league, he goes down. They've been able to manage all that. Aaron Jones, another one. So, you know, I just think the coaching staff's done a phenomenal job there and managing everything that's sort of come their way. And, again, like if it's my vote, like I'm probably still voting for Cliff Kingsbury for Coach of the Year, but Matt LaFleur is a name that I would give a lot of consideration to.
We'll continue our discussion with Albert Breer after this quick timeout on Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood. J Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Chicago.
tonight, Albert Breer. So, Bert Breer, I have a question for you. Who are the rising executives, two or three names, and is there like a football version of Theo Epstein, Billy Bean, somebody like that who you go, that guy might be available? Is there some big-name executive that could be poached that has cachet? Same for the coach.
I don't know, because so many of them kind of came off the board last year. If there's one that was, like, kind of stuck out, you know, like I guess it would have been Eric DaCosta. He got promoted to GM in Baltimore. George Payton got the Denver job last year. You know, you look at, you know, Nick Caserio was a big one. And he wound up, you know, taking the Houston job last year. So, you know, I think you'd probably be looking more along the lines of, guys who are rising. Now, the one that sort of sticks out to me, like if you could get him, like, I think it would be a huge, huge get, because teams have tried over the last few years, is this guy Will McClay in Dallas. And, you know, a lot of people over the years have made a lot over how, you know, Jerry Jones is meddling and in the weeds and all the rest of it. And I'm not going to argue that he doesn't have an effect on the football operation there. But they have been, I think, over the last 3 or 4 years, as talented as anyone in football. And when you turn on the TV and you watch that team, you see ballers everywhere, right? Like, I don't think anybody argue with that. Right. Will McClay is in large part responsible for that. And, like, so I think if you could find a way to get him out of there, and he's been loyal to Dallas, he's been loyal to the organization, they treat him well there, but obviously he's never going to be the general manager there because Jerry has that title. If you could entice him out of there, Will McClay would be one name that I would look at and say, if you get that guy out of there, that's somebody worth taking a very big swing on.
The reason why that we asked the question, Albert, is because of the infrastructure with the Bears. There's the ownership with McCaskey. We're just trying to compare that to like everything else around the league, right? It's the equivalent of the mom and pop store versus Whole Foods, right, around the league, where it's like there's McCaskey, there's Ted Phillips, who is very good as far as the money and the financial, but then there's Ryan Pace and then the head coach. The way the McCaskies look at it is like, well, Ryan and Matt are football guys, and that's it. So how often or how common is that as far as the infrastructure for a football team where it's just the GM and the head coach, and that's it?
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
That's our team.
you know, I think like when it is a situation like that, Huddy, it demands like somebody really strong in charge, right? And so, you know, like that's why I brought Will's name up, because I think Will, I mean, look, like, you know, full disclosure, I covered the guy when I was in Dallas, and he was just a pro scout at the time, but he was actually the head coach of the Joneses Arena League team at the same time. So he's been a coach. He's worked his way up. He's worked on the analytics side. He's worked in pro scouting. He's done college scouting. He understands like the breadth of a football operation, right? Like, so, you know, he's had to manage up too. Like, he's had to manage his ownership to some degree, because that's what you have to do when you're in Dallas. And so, you know, like I think, you know, what you're explaining is a place that needs someone who can really be the guy in charge, right? Like, and that's why I think Will's name is a really, really good one. Now, can you get him out of there? I don't know. You know, he's got family in Texas. He's from Texas. You know, he likes it there, and they treat him great. You know, so I think it'd be difficult to get him out of there. But if you can get him out of there, I mean, that would be a big swing, I think, that would be worth taking.
So I was talking to a friend of mine in the league who gave me this thought. He believes that Notre Dame, before they settled on Marcus Freeman, reached out to Luke Fickell, and he said, because Luke Fickell did not express interest in Notre Dame, he believes he's the next coach at Ohio State because Ryan Day's going to the NFL. Mm. Do you put any speculation or any credence to that speculation?
I think Luke would walk over hot coals for the Ohio State job, first of all. Do I think Ryan is going to the NFL now? No. But, you know, I feel less strongly about that than I maybe did a year ago. So I think the right situation, you know, you throw the moon and the stars at him and every single thing is right. like I wouldn't discount it happening. Whereas maybe a year ago, it would have been like a hard no for me, and I think he's going to stay there for another 5 or 10 years. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I still think he's going to stay at Ohio State, but you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not worth a team like Chicago taking a very big swing at him, because you know, obviously he's got the acumen with the quarterback, and you know, like I said, like if you need strong leadership. Well, you know, if you're a head coach at a place like Ohio State, the one thing you need you know how to do is how to set up an entire football operation, because that's as big an operation. You know, those big schools, that's as big an operation as you're going to see in the NFL. So you're going to need to have those sort of organizational skills. You know, again, on top of his ability to develop quarterbacks and obviously his relationship with Justin. So I think the rumors about Ryan and the Bears are probably going to persist over the next month. Ultimately, I think he stays at Ohio State, but I'm not ruling it out completely. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, whether or not the McCaskies really go hard down that road. I think I mentioned Sean Payton to you guys last week. I think Josh McDaniels is somebody who's probably worth considering too. It'll be interesting to see how focused, if, you know, they decide to move on from Matt Nagy, which most people are expecting, how focused they're going to be on guys with backgrounds and quarterbacks. I think the one other thing that's probably worth mentioning, too, is that George McCaskey has been very involved in the effort to improve diversity in the head coaching ranks. So I think that's just something worth filing away, too, when you're looking at where a potential head coaching search could go with the Bears.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you in a week, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Albert Breer, brought to you by Curcio Law Offices.
Did you catch that nugget?
I did.
About George?
I did. Interesting. Again, someone's got to present him a list and go, dude, there's the 8 guys, 10 guys, 5 guys, whoever it is that you need to talk to. And then he's got to have the ability to sit in a room and go, I know you don't look like you fit in the force, but you know what? You're the best person for the job. He has to have that ability.
If George is in the mix to be able to help out with more diversity in the NFL, you just heard what he said, right? He's on the committee.
Yep.
That's very telling.
Very telling. That's a great nugget. We'll discuss that. But is it becoming harder and harder to root for the Bears? Would you ever turn your back on the team? Are your kids growing up Bears fans? 312-332-3776. We're back in 2 minutes, and watch us on Twitch, brought to you by Miller Lite. Take that.